this morning. Praise the Lord for each one of you that are here today. We got a lot of folks who are traveling. As you see, many of our praise team are gone as well. We need to keep them in prayer this morning as we go to the Lord. But isn't it great that regardless of where they are and where we're at and wherever anyone else who believes in the name of Christ is at, God is right there amongst them. Amen? Amen. We serve a mighty God. Give God the glory one more time. Started, a lot of things hit me right at the front door, and it's hard getting up to the front of the church. But we're here, and we're going to go to the Lord, and God's got this morning. Amen?
Amen? Amen.
So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I just come before you and thank you for this opportunity that we have this morning to praise you, to thank you for giving us a place to praise you. May you just move in mighty ways amongst your people this day. Thank you for bringing us all back here safely. Be with those who are traveling, Lord God, and those that are in the hospital this day. And Father, may your name be glorified wherever they are. And we give you praise, honor, and glory for everything. Lord, if there is someone here today, or whatever that reason may be, if they have not surrendered their heart unto you, may this be the day that they do so. May your will be done, Lord. It's in Jesus' holy name we pray. And the people say,
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Walk around this second, shake somebody's hand, give them a hug. Just tell them it's good to see you in God's house this morning. Praise God, you're here, and we thank you and welcome you to be here with us today. So they're here. The other thing I want to point out this morning is twofold. Two more things. One of which practice for our Vacation Bible School skit. It's in your bulletin there. Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7. I'm sure you probably knew that. However, if you did not, make sure you make the practices, guys. Sherry and I will be leaving at the end of the week, so we won't be able to be here to help remind everyone. So please make it for your practices. And let's make this Vacation Bible School. Satan intended things to destroy and tear down. We are going to continue to let God lift God and let God rule, and He's going to go forth and be manifested in this place. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah, give God the glory. One more thing I would like to say, and this is not in your bulletin. As you know, we went to camp this week. There was 32 of us at camp. Had a great youth group there this week. We had a lot of obstacles show themselves. The water table went so low that we had to ration showers and such. So it was a good smelling, interactive time with one another in 107-degree heat without showers and flushing commodes. It was interesting. But we had a good time. We had a good trip. We did have one young man come to Christ who went with us from the church down the road. Yeah, give God the glory. I want to share with you right now that I want to acknowledge from the church. I came back one, I think it was Wednesday morning, to the cabin. I knew Chris had not been to breakfast yet. I was wondering where this Chris Ferguson is. I go in, and without anyone speaking to or saying anything to him, in that heat and in that mess, the commodes were kind of and such, somebody, you know, that not me guy, I think he lives in everybody's house, the not me guy overflowed one of the commodes, and let's just say it was bad all the way to the showers. And we're talking like a lot of stuff was there. Well, he had taken it upon himself without anyone speaking. Chris, I'll come back. He spent his whole morning through breakfast with a dustpan and a mop bucket and had cleaned all that stuff up.
Wow.
Without being told. And there were other times that he... Jenny and I saw him one time cleaning trays. He didn't even work at the camp, and he was over there helping them out. And I said, well, did they ask you to do that? He said, no, I just saw they needed help. And he stepped in and did that. And so for all that kind of leadership, I want to present him with the Golden Plunger Award. So never forget. Just in case you thought I didn't notice, everyone knows your leadership this week. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Not bad, I went that over the fireplace. With pride. Everyone that comes in, I want to see that golden plunge. Amen. Thank you, Chris. And guys, there was other instances where he took charge and took leadership and really accomplished the tasks for me this week. Without being asked. There are many who would do it if I asked, but to see someone do, especially of that magnitude, I just praise God for it. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Pat, you got the scripture reading this morning. You want to come on up, brother?
Sure.
Yes. Oh, I forgot. This morning, right after the service today, we're going to have lunch next door, and that way the folks meet East Sagatai? Michigan. The folks from Michigan. We'd like to interact and meet with you guys and just kind of spend some fellowship time one with another. So I want to invite you to stay for lunch today if you can and just have a good day here on the grounds as well.
Amen.
Yeah. Father God, I just lift up my brother to you and just ask in the name of Jesus that you will touch him in a special way right now and he feel your presence and then we hear your words through him as he speaks to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good morning. You good? Chris, perfect lead in. I think this verse was given to me. I was supposed to have scripture reading a few weeks back, and for some reason or other, we didn't do it that Sunday morning. But just 2 days before that, a young lady in the Carnes City Church, who is one of my hunting buddies, her name is Landry, she's the pastor's daughter, had posted something in one of the Bible apps. And she's one of my friends in the Bible app, so I went and read her highlight. And it comes out of 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, if y'all want to look it up. And I don't know, we've done that good. Well, it this point in time, this is when David is about to pass away, and he's passing leadership to his son Solomon. And talk about leadership and what it is. I think this is the goal, I think, for each and every one of us. And this verse says, "As for me, I am going the way of all the earth. Be strong and courageous like a man. Keep your obligation to the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commands, his ordinances and decrees. This is written in the law of Moses so that you will have success in everything you do and everywhere you turn." What Ms. Mangry put in that as a comment below that, how great would it be if we could all learn that? I mean, you think about what are the most important words someone speaks, and it's kind of like their last words. We always want to know what were their last words. These are David's, the man after God's own heart, last words. Maybe we should all do well to take them in, follow God's statutes, and have him do in us in the way that he wants us to.
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for examples we have of leadership and the courage and Lord of standing up, Lord, when it's maybe not popular, when it may not be the cleanest thing, the Lord, whenever it just seems like it's a nasty place to be. Lord, I just pray that you give us the courage to be there, Lord, and that if that's the place where you tell us you want us, Lord, I just pray that we stand firm and, Lord, we be courageous in that. Lord, I just thank you for being a God who is a God who promises us many blessings, Lord, a God who says that you will be faithful, Lord, if we stay in your will. Lord, I just thank you for being a God who loves us so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We believe in Jesus Christ.
Praise we can ever bring.
pray this morning that we'll open our hearts to who and what you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you guys, and thank you Brody for stepping up. It's great we got Brody Neal stepping up. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. While you're turning there, let me also read to you the camp theme verse or passage in Psalms 117. It's only two verses long. When I say I'm reading the whole Psalms, it's okay. So, Psalm 117 is two verses long, and this is the theme verse for camp this past week. And as I was preaching as I was thinking about the message for this morning, this passage of Scripture kept coming back to me this week. It's not what he brought out of it in a way, but it's something that feels like that God's laid on my heart for us this morning. It says this, "Praise the Lord, all the nations. Glorify Him, all people. For great is His faithful love to us, and the Lord's faithfulness endures forever. Hallelujah." Or you can show that. I think everybody recognized the tune, I would think, right? And what we see there, guys, are these folks, we've been praising the Lord up here in song. And it's the type of song and music that we understand, and we're praising our heart to the Lord. What we just saw in that video are people who are also praising the Lord in their way, in a Gothic cathedral, in a cathedral that was built to endure till the Lord returns. And again, in our Psalms there, it said that we are a people who are praising His name. Folks, they were praising with bagpipes, they were praising in song, but I would even go so far to say that it's not just the music in that video that someone sent me that's praising Him, but also too in that cathedral. When I was studying, my minors in medieval Renaissance studies, and I studied, much of the study was the origin of the Christian church and the building of European and or Gothic cathedrals such as this. And when you stop and you think about what it took to build that cathedral, you see how it panned up, you see how tall it is, how wide it is, how incredible it is. The things that it must have taken to build something of that magnitude in the 12th century to praise God, to praise an enduring God. They tried to build an enduring building. They tried to build an enduring cathedral. These were people who were truly, in their fashion, in their way, praising God. Hallelujah. The pastor this past week, he was also sharing in one of his sermons, he spoke about how his church had planted another church, and they had integrated services at times. It was a culturally different type of church. And he talked about how when he was preaching up there, somebody out in the congregation would stand up and say something, preacher.
Say something!
That's right, just like that. And he would say, but I am saying something. He didn't understand. They were telling him, I agree with you. I am praising God in unison with you for what you have said. And he said somebody on the other side, an elderly gentleman, would just sit back there and with loud voices say, my, my. Because he was praising God. He was hearing the word that was coming forth. And there was praise. And he said it was incredible to see these people praise together, using their voices, using their hands to praise and enduring God. Just as we read in Psalms 117 there. We are called to praise and enduring God. And I think that sometimes we think we should just sit on our hands. We think we should just praise in song. What's a song service? This is where I'm supposed to praise. This is where I'm going to do something a little out of character. But other than that, I'm just going to sit here on my hands and be the frozen chosen. Folks, we are to praise continuously. My God endures to the end of time. And folks, He is praiseworthy, and His Word is praiseworthy. Therefore, if my God is continuing to endure for me, if my God has chosen to pay a sacrifice for me that endures for all time, then why shouldn't I praise Him all the time as well? Not just when somebody's singing a song. We should be praising God continuously. I know that people, if you remember, in the other church over there, Dennis would sit in the back there, and they would jump when Dennis would holler out, "Amen!" That voice he had just resonated from that back pew. And people would say, "What was that?" And then they'd stop. That's Dennis praising God. Hallelujah!
Amen!
Hallelujah! He would do that. I hear Barry up front sometimes, and he's sitting here, and he'll say praise God, or he'll say amen. I know that he's not praising me, just like I knew Dennis wasn't praising me. He is drawing in unison with the Word of God, and he's saying hallelujah. When you see Barry dancing and singing over here, you're not doing that to impress you. In fact, I can pretty much guarantee you don't care what they think. He is singing for the Lord. He is praising God. He's saying, thank you, Jesus. Folks, we have gotten into this bad habit, for whatever the reason may be, I think of sometimes, of quenching that spirit rather than praising it. We want to sit on our hands and be the frozen chosen when God says, say hallelujah, say something. When we're sitting, just saying, thank you, Jesus. He may want you to say that because somebody else needs to hear that we serve a God that we're thankful for. But yet when we sit on our hands, we're not praising Him. And guys, I'm going to submit to you this morning that we were designed to praise Him. We were designed to call out praise unto Him. We were designed to lift up our hearts and our hands and our voices. We were designed to say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when we sit on our hands, we are going against what we were designed for. That's like taking a Ferrari in an off-road contest. It's not going to work. We were created in the resemblance of God. We were created to sing praises unto Him. And when we want to stick in the mud and stuck in the mud, you're not doing what He created you and designed you to do. Now, Isaiah 43, and starting in verse 21, listen to what he says here in Isaiah. The people I formed for myself will declare my praise. But Jacob, church, you've not called on me, because you, Israel, church, you have become weary of me. I think so many times we get complacent. We get weary of praise, yet we know God endures forever. And notice what he says again there in verse 21. The people I formed for myself will declare my praise. Folks, we should be praising God continuously. The Bible expresses here that God has created us to praise Him. He has created us to praise God. The scripture tells us that God desires that we would recognize His works, and that we would stop and give Him the credit for everything that's happening around us. When we look in the scriptures to Jesus Himself, when He gives us the model prayer, looks up to God, hallowed is thy name. If Jesus Himself is praising the Father, then how much more so should we be thanking Him for the things that we have? Praise is not just some aspect of the church that men thought of. It is something that God designed us to do. And whatever the reason is that we have gotten into this holier-than-thou thought of looking right is beyond me. Because God said, David said, hey, we need to get more undignified than this. Amen? David danced in the streets and his wife was like, what in the world are you doing? You are a king. Be dignified. David said, no, I serve the king and I praise him for it.
Amen.
Folks, we need to recognize it's not about us. It's about God. And when we praise Him, that is a divinely ordained, unconditional expression on our part. It means that, God, I hear you. I feel you. I see you. I know you abide within me. And thank you, Jesus. If we will practice praise on a more often, on a more tangible and often basis, it draws us closer to God. And according to Scripture, it actually draws God closer to us. In Psalms chapter 22, verse 3, if you look at Psalms 22, verse 3, it says, "But thou art holy, O God, and inhabits the praises of Israel." You could submit a church in the name of Israel right there. And then it would say, "But thou art holy, O God, that inhabits the praises of the church." And the church isn't this building, guys. The church is right here. In other words, you can even go a little further. "Thou art holy, O God, that inhabits the heart of your believer in praise." When we are praising God, we are drawing God, we're drawing closer to God, we're drawing God closer to us, and we are sitting in His presence. The purpose of this message today is to encourage that we need to praise the Lord, and for no other reason, we might enjoy the benefits and the pleasures and the aspects of worship, knowing that my God is drawing on to me, and I am doing what I was designed to do. Now, I want us to deal with this subject today by maybe asking the question, what is praise? I'm thinking maybe we've lost the translation. We think praise means that the group is going to get up here and praise God for these folks, and you know, we're missing our flautist, our drummer, and some other singers, but praise God, we still had all these guys and Brody leading them, singing praise to us. Amen. But that praise, the word praise, doesn't mean just these guys getting up here and leading us in song. I think we get a little confused. Praise, by definition, is an expression of approval, is a commendation, it is applause. In fact, one dictionary I looked it up said it hilariously excited. Hallelujah! We should be hilariously excited for what God's done for us. That's why David's wife got mad at him. You look funny out there. I'm hilariously excited. We should be hilariously excited. People should think, man, what in the world's going on in your life? Why are you jumping around? Why are you just praising God in such a way? You'll say, because my God loved me enough that He chose to die for me. I will never forget being at a football game. I can't remember which one of the kids I was there with, but I remember it's towards the end of the season. But this game was the fourth quarter, and we had a 70-yard conversion. Do you know what happened when we scored that 70-yard touchdown? We are a people formed to praise. We know how to give praise. And everybody in those stands went wild, including me. We were using words. We were clapping. We were smiling. We were cheering. I would even go so far to say that some of us even got rather fanatical about it. And that was a football game. If we get that excited at a high school football game, how much more should we be excited when we talk about Jesus Christ and what He's done for us? Ball game for a 70-yard conversion. I'm not taking anything away from that young man and that quarterback, but praise God, if we can get that excited about that, how much more when I say, my Lord, my Savior, carried out to the end, to His death, the plan of salvation so I can be saved. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in what manner that we are supposed to praise Him, and guess what, folks? I guarantee you're not going to see any in the Scriptures anywhere it says that we are to praise Him by being reserved and silent. Nowhere does it say praise Him by sitting on your hands looking like you sucked on a lemon. It's just not in there. Why is it not in there? Because we should be excited. Now understand, there are times... Amen. There are times for silent meditation as well. But I think we oftentimes get the word meditation and praise mixed around together. There is time for silent meditation. But there's times that we should get on our knees and say, thank you, Jesus. And He tells us how to, He says clapping in Psalms 47:1, if you remember the Psalms 47:1 to you, and write these verses down because I didn't give them to Morgan to be able to get up there. But it says, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto the Lord in a voice of triumph. If we feel triumphant, He's telling us there in Psalms 47:1, clap your hands. He says, lift up your hands in Psalms 134:2. It says to go forth, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Hallelujah. That does not sound like a recommendation to me. He said, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. That tells me that if we are praising God for what He has done for us, you lift up those holy hands and say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Whether it be in song while Brody or Chris or whomever is singing, or whether it be during a sermon, whether it be during a prayer time, if you, He has called you to lift your holy hands, lift them and say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, we are to do it in song. He says in Psalms 102, come before Him with joyful song. I'm not taking away the song service. I'm saying we praise Him continuously. One of Brian's favorite verses is Ephesians 5, 18 and 20. It says for us to be not drunk with wine. You remember this verse? Be not drunk in wine wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual singing, making joy and melody in our hearts for the Lord. Hallelujah. So we have it from the Psalms, the Old Testament, the Ephesians, and the New, and all interspersed throughout. We are to praise God. We are to sing with the Psalms. We are to sing with the hymns. We are to use our mouths. We are to use our hands. We are to use our legs. We are to use our voice. And we are to proclaim Jesus verbally. Psalms 100 says, shout for joy in the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. If we're going to shout with joy and worship with the Lord in gladness, that doesn't mean sitting there and just not ever speaking a word. It's okay to say amen sometimes. It's okay to say hallelujah. Well, that's just not the Baptist way. My uncle, who's a for real deep Southern Baptist preacher in the woods of Alabama, if you've never heard Alabama preaching, you're in for something if you ever go. In fact, he's the one who preached my ordination so many years ago. And I had to tell him, I said, Uncle Shorty, his name's Lonnie. It was Uncle Shorty to me. I said, Uncle Shorty, these Texas people, they're going to freak out if you get up here and preach like you normally preach. You need to calm down just a little bit. He came and he preached the message and everything, and I had people come up to me. I thought your uncle was going to have a heart attack. He was going back and forth and the veins on his head. I said, oh, honey. He was really reserved for you. You ought to see him in his own church. He has an amen corner over here. In other words, the deacons sit over here and they amen when they go, like the Lord's leading them. And if the people aren't doing it, they'll do it. And they'll look out there and say, you're up here next, but you don't. We are to say amen. We are to praise God. We are to lift up our hearts. We are to lift up our voice. We were designed to praise Him. We were designed to say, thank you, Jesus. Praise is an expression of approval, guys. It's an expression of commendation. It is an applause unto our Lord. Isaiah 43:21 that we just said, says, the people that I have formed for myself will do what? It shall show forth in praise. Why have we become a people so stringent upon looks? That we are so dignified, as the psalm says, that we don't want to praise Him. Thanksgiving to God for blessings that we have received should be something we do every day. We should be going to the Lord every day and saying, thank you, Jesus. Blessings He's given to others, we should be saying, thank you, Jesus. Testimonies of God's goodness towards us should be an unceasing proclamation, guys. It's not just during a song service. It's not just during Wednesday night, Thursday night, Sunday morning. That declaration of praise should be on a daily basis, saying, thank you, Jesus. You know, there was an old fellow, he was kicked in the head by a mule when he was real little. And he accepted Christ, but he had lots of issues because of that. But yet still, his testimony, all the way up to his dying day, he would say, he would continuously go around and say, we just can't thank Him enough. Now, people would say, well, why would he say that? He was kicked in the head. He had all these medical conditions. He never was right again. He had problems. Why would he thank God? Because he understood that what we go through on this side of glory, guys, and I hope you pick this up this morning. He understood that what we go through, and I'm not trying to belittle any of the things that we have gone through, going through, or possibly will go through, but the things that we go through here on this side of glory, folks, let me share with you this morning are temporary. We have been given eternity on the other side of glory. And on the other side of glory, through the blood of Jesus Christ, I have a heavenly home. I have a heavenly body. I have a resurrected body awaiting on me. And when I get there, I can look back at my 60, 70 years, whatever I'm going to spend here on this side, and say, that is a dot on the map compared to eternity with my God. And because of that, I praise Him. We should be praising God for what He is doing in our life right now, but praising Him for what He has already done for our future. And that doesn't just mean in church, that means at home too, guys. If you remember in Mark 19, there was a demon possessed, no, excuse me, Mark chapter 5, verse 19, there was a demon possessed man. Jesus got the demons out and He said, go home, tell your family, and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how He has shown mercy on you. In other words, He's telling him that what I have done for you, don't keep to yourself, go home, tell your family. Our faith, our testimony needs to go beyond Sunday morning. In Sunday school this morning, we were talking about how Paul and Barnabas wasn't going to give up their testimony just because some religious people came down and told them that they were doing it wrong. They said, oh, no, no, no. Let me tell you what my God is doing. And we're here today because they were capable and able to share their testimony. And people listen. Folks, we should be sharing our testimony. We should be praying. When I say sharing your testimony, I'm saying our testimony could just be, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. You go through the cashier's line and she says, how's your day? I am incredibly blessed. That may be all it needed to be for her to remember the words when she went to school and church and everything years ago, to come back to her and say, we are blessed, aren't we? Or she may say, what do you have to be blessed for? This world is horrible. Look at the beatings, the shootings, and all the ugliness. You can say, because even though this world may be possessed, I am obsessed with Jesus Christ. And because of that, I will continue on. Because one day this world will pass away, and I will be forevermore in the presence of my Lord and Savior. We should praise Him. Ephesians 5 says, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making music in our heart for the Lord. Hallelujah. Guys, this age of sitting on our hands and keeping it to ourselves needs to go away. The world needs to see that I choose to praise God. If I don't want to praise Him, why should they? Oh, we got to grow the church. We need this program, and we need that program, and we need to do this, and we need to do that. I have nothing against programs. I have nothing against organized theology and such. But what we need to understand is the first thing we need is to act like we were designed for, and that is to praise Jesus continuously. If we will start praising Him, things might start changing. If we trust Him to guide us through something, then we need to stop and thank Him for that. Thank you for your guidance here. Thank you for who you are, Lord. If we believe that He is going to perform a miracle in our finances, then we need to thank Him for that miracle in our finances. But unfortunately, many Christians, rather than just praising Him up front and thanking Him up front, when they are faced with one of God's promises, where they need God in that situation, rather than praising Him that He has a plan, rather than praising Him that He is on the throne, rather than praising Him that He is in control, they just tend to get discouraged. They get beaten down. They begin to disbelieve. And they miss the blessing. Why? Because it wasn't praising Him. There's a poet. I should have had Wendy put this on the back of the bulletin, actually. This crossed my mind. It says, we mutter and we sputter, we fume and we spurt. We mutter and we sputter, we fume and we spurt. We mumble and we grumble and our feelings get hurt. We can't understand things. Our vision grows dim. And all that we needed was a moment with Him. And we will stop and just take that moment and say, thank you, Jesus. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm having a hard time paying my bills. I got this going on. I got a medical condition. My kids are mad at me. The neighbor said that their dog is going to be in my yard again. And blah, blah, blah. And you lay all this stuff out. Thank you, Jesus. Well, what's on the other side of the door? No matter how much negative you can put forth in this side of glory, my God's always going to be on the other side as well. Hebrews chapter 11 says that without faith it is impossible to please God. But He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You get that? Without faith it's impossible to please God. But He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. In other words, it doesn't mean just on Sunday morning. It doesn't mean just on Thursday night or Sunday night. It means that diligently seeking something is that you're looking for it every day. If you're like me, if I get my mind set on something, I am focusing. And in this day of Google, God, the Lord help us. We are looking for it. We're diligently seeking. We're looking, how can I obtain it? How can I get there? But it says that He is going to bless us who are diligently seeking Him. Then we should be doing that on a daily basis. Pat got up here and shared a little bit about the young lady who in her Bible app, did you hear that, young people and older? In her Bible app, not her Instagram. In her Bible app, not her Twitter account. She highlighted something and said that wouldn't it be great if we all did this. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be great if we all diligently sought Christ? Praise is an expression of our faith, guys. And without that in your life, it is impossible to please God. But when you praise Him, when you trust Him, when you believe in Him, is what the Hebrew writer is saying, He will reward you. In order to begin experiencing the blessings of God, you have to have that discipline of praise. You have to climb that mountain. When you get to that mountain in front of you, don't look at it and say, well, how can I go around it? What's the, you know, I'm going to try the easiest way to avoid this work. But God presents that mountain. He with faith is going to look to the Lord and say, God, what would you have me to do? And you're going to approach it directly, not so that you can figure out how to get around it, but you're going to say, if God be for me, who can dare be against me? I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. God, you want me to climb this mountain, then by golly, I am approaching this with the intention of climbing this mountain. And I praise you, Lord God, that you're going to take my arms and make it happen. You're going to make it so. That's praise. In other words, if we're going to fulfill the purpose in which we were created, Isaiah says, the people that I have formed for myself will praise me. If we're going to fulfill the purpose for which we were created, we must go forth and praise Him. Go forth and say, thank you, Jesus. And kind of summing this up, Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, many of you know this verse, but it says, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either cold or hot. You know what Jesus is saying there? This speaks of our life toward God. And He wants to know where we stand. God desires that we were on fire for Him. And folks, if we're on fire for Him, we're going to be praising Him. Have you ever been to a Spurs game? Even when they're losing, it's loud. Much more so for God. If we are truly living for Him, we are going to be excited. The people who are praising Jesus all the time, they are on fire for Him. He doesn't want us to be cold and live dismal, lifeless beings. He wants us to be exclaiming Him He is. He wants us to be praising Him. He wants us to be able to say amen and hold our hands up and praise God. He wants us to be expressive and reverent towards Him. Now, I'm not saying to get up and make names for yourself. I'm saying praise Him. I went up many years ago, it seems like two lifetimes ago, when I was a youth pastor. I used to tell my youth, much to the chagrin of some of the deacons, but I would tell my youth, if God tells you to get up and run around that church, you better get up and run around that church. But if it's not of God, one of those big deacons is going to tackle you in the back of the pew, just so you know. If God is telling you to say amen, if God is telling you to move, if God is telling you to praise, if God's telling you to stand up and say something, preacher, if He's telling you to say, my, if He's telling you to say amen, if He's telling you to clap, whatever it is, you should say, thank you, Jesus, and do it. People who are praising God, those are the ones that are doing what they were designed to do. I want to share one more story with you. Something I read, it was a couple weeks ago. But there was an elderly lady, I can't remember where she was from. She was on her last days, and she was declining in her life. And it got to the point that her her memory got down to where all she could do is she was recite a verse. She was reciting 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. She said, I know in whom I have believed and have persuaded that He is able to keep me against that day. But as she proceeded down that pathway, her memory was slowly disappearing. It was going more and more and more. And it got to where she could only remember 7 words. And in that last beat, she was saying, that which I've committed unto Him. Hallelujah. Well, it says that on her last day, her daughter was there beside her bed. Her memory had pretty much gone. She couldn't really speak. It was the final hour of this woman's death, her life. And she voiced a single word repetitively. Him. 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 She remembered that if nothing else, Him. She was praising him. She couldn't remember the rest of the verse. She couldn't remember the seven words, but she remembered him. Here's the key to our praise, folks. When we come together to worship, when we come together to give thanks, whether we're in the presence of others, whether we're just at home with our families, whether we're by ourselves listening to the radio, when we come together, we should be expressing our heart and our thankfulness, not so others can see us, not so that we can impress our wives and our children, not so that others can say, man, he must really have it going on. We should be expressing our heart to him. And then you're doing what you were designed to do. Whether it's in song, whether it's in the midst of a sermon, whether it's in the midst of you driving your car, praise him. This morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I'm going to say right now, you don't know what real praise is. Well, I've been to church, Pastor. I've sang and I've lifted up my hands. I've even said amen. Folks, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you do not fully comprehend what it means to have the peace, the knowledge of your salvation. When you realize that you are a sinner, destined for the devil's hell, but yet my God shows the wages of sin is death. There is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. But my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, came and he died and shed his sacrificial blood and said, whosoever believes that I am the Son of God and I rose again on the third day, professes that with their mouth, so shall they be saved. And you can go forth with your head held high, not because of who you are, but because of who he is. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would submit to you that my God is standing at the door and knocks. And I would say, why not? Well, my sin is too big, Pastor. Nope, there's nothing too big for my God. Well, you don't know where I've been. You're right, I don't, but my God does. And he still said, in the midst of your sin, he chose to die for you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can change that today. If you accept him right where you're at. It's not a magical prayer. I don't have to pray with you. You can pray right where you're at. I'd love to hear from you and the folks here that would become your brothers and sisters. They would love you to hear to profess, publicly profess his name so that he could publicly profess you before the Father. But if you, the main thing is, will you accept him right now? If you do know him as your Lord and your Savior, I would say praise him. Thank him for the greatest gift that had ever been given me. Thank him for all the little things. I remember years ago, I had someone kind of chastise me. They overheard me telling a child to pray to God and thank him for helping you tie your shoes. And they said, isn't that kind of trivial to be praying to God? I said, absolutely not. That young person, it was a little girl. That little girl just tied her shoes, and she was proud of that. And I guarantee you, my God was proud as well.
Amen.
There is no such thing as a prayer that's too small. If my God is working with you, say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Even if you don't know he's there, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's there. If you don't know Christ, will you accept him today? And if you do know him as your Lord and Savior, have you told anybody? Have you praised him openly? Have you just... I've been known to act a fool in the middle of Walmart. Have I done it for Christ? I sure would do it to harass my children. I mean, I'm doing it for Christ. If we will go out and act a fool for other reasons, why not hold our hands up and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And you may say, but I'm the only one. Doesn't matter. Isn't that what everybody else thinks? Let God see in your heart. I pray one day I stand before him. He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. At one time you would jump around and look a little weird, but hey, I like it. Yeah. That was pretty easy. David was dancing through the streets. Jenny and I was joking around. Thursday night at camp this week, they had a big phone party, dance party. DJ was there, playing what they called music. I don't know what it really was. Anyway, just kidding. But they were having this big dance party out there and fireworks closing the week down. And I looked at Jenny, I said, don't you know there's a lot of them old-time Baptists who are rolling in their grave right now hearing the thou shalt not dance. Folks, those kids were praising God. And they were using their bodies, they were dancing, and they were getting more undignified than this for him. Where are you this morning? Are you willing to praise the Lord? You may say, well, Pastor, I don't dance. I'm not saying you have to go out and dance. If he tells you to raise your hand, raise your hands. If he tells you to say amen in agreement with him, say amen in agreement with him. But don't sit on your hands and let that person decide for you. Say, why do I want to serve a God that makes me look like I suck on lemons? I don't want what you have. You are miserable. I want what he has. Oh, you're a Christian? Well, what happened to that one? Let's be that one that people are excited to see. And they're excited not because of who we are, but we show that it's not me, it's he who is with you. Where are you this morning? God's speaking to you. Will you step out? Maybe he's going to come to this altar and say, Father, give me that heart of praise. Maybe you've gone through some really hard times and you've just gotten calloused up and stoic because of all the cynicism and the ugliness that's out there. I wish I could tell you that it all goes away. It doesn't. Satan's the god of this world. But I will tell you, greater is he that's within you than he that's within this world. And if you will just take it to him, he can break the stones off that heart.
Amen.
But you have to do it. You may say, but you don't understand, Pastor. I've become so leathered up at this point. Just don't care. Isn't it great to serve a God that never says, I don't care? He says, I love you. And I'll be here for you. And if I be for you, who can be against you? Where are you this morning? Will you surrender your heart to him? He'll make it malleable again, and he'll make you back into that person he's called you to be. Well, I've gotten short-tempered. I've gotten ugly. I've just gotten so... My God who resides within you wants to shine forth from you. Let's remove the basket and let the light shine. Let's all stand, and I want to lead us in a word of prayer. This altar will be open if God's calling you down to pray. You may be telling you to cross the aisle and just sing with somebody else. And if you want to sing whatever the praise teams lead this one, then sing it out. If you want to lift up holy hands, lift up hands. If you want to clap, clap. The only thing I would say not to do is to quench the spirit. Do what the Lord lays in your heart to do this spirit. May God give you glory. Father God, I come before you this morning thanking you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, that you're bringing these people to come and lead us in song. But God, if there's somebody you're drawing on their heart this morning, may it not be the song, may it not be the voices, may it not be people, whatever it is, may they only hear that drawing. And may they step out and do what you called them to do. Whether it's come to the altar and pray, or it's pray where they're at, whether it's for me to pray with them, whatever it is, may they stop and heed your word this day. And Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know you, whatever the reason may be, may they feel your presence and accept you because you love. Father, I thank you this morning for Matthew who accepted Christ this past week. As hard as it was for him to do, as he so bashful, he stepped out. Maybe there's an adult here today that needs to do the same. Will you lead them to have that courage in you to step out? Father, may your will be done in the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, Lord. If God's laid on your heart to sing, sing. If he's telling you to pray, pray. If he's telling you to release, you release. If he's telling you to come to this altar, come to this altar. Do what God's called you to do.
Amen.
Have you come to the end of yourself?
Jesus Christ and washing and cleansing. Hallelujah. Whatever God's been speaking to you today, you may be sitting there saying, you know, I just want to go out and praise the Lord. You don't have to wait to go out there. You can praise Him right now if you like to. Amen? But instead of you go to HEB, Walmart, wherever, just say, thank you, Jesus. Say, thank you, Jesus. Let the world see that we're not ashamed of our God. We're going to praise Him openly, publicly, profess and proclaim that I am His and He is mine. Do that wherever you go. And continue to focus on what He is and what He's done for you. Amen? Amen. Good seeing everybody this morning. I praise the Lord for each one of you. Thank you for being here this morning. I'm going to ask Brother David, would you come here this morning?
Dear Lord, we have seen
your wonders.
We have seen your blessings in our lives and throughout this land. Help us to gather, rejoicing, and giving thanks to your word, your way, and your truth. And go forth.